By dusk, Ben knew he was north of Birmingham, past the towers that circled the city like a crown of grey stone. It would be near impossible to get a lift at night. People only noticed him at the last minute, with no time to make a decision. He had never been such a long way. Thumbing lifts between villages back home, he had only to wait 10 minutes before a tractor or someone he knew from school stopped for him to clamber inside. He was hundreds of miles from Devon now. Spring had begun with a few warm days. The air smelled of tall weeds. If nobody picked him up by nightfall, Ben's plan was to crawl behind a row of trees, unroll the sleeping bag from his rucksack, then get inside and lay there until the dawn caught him in its net. He would have to stay low, beyond the sweep of headlights. In the morning, he was certain there would be lorries, freshly laden, grinding upwards to Manchester and the far north. He had some money to eat, but not enough for a hotel or train fare to Scotland, where he'd been promised work with other people his age. Soon it was completely dark. Ben wondered if he might see a prostitute, or if people might think he was one. Then, a car appeared. Ben raised his arm, standing still so the driver could see his eyes. The vehicle stopped. He hurried toward it, rolling the backpack off his shoulders. The woman was so tall her seat was pushed all the way back. She had on gym shorts, a sports jacket, and was driving the car barefoot. "I don't normally do this," she said, "but I felt sorry for you." She told him her name was Diane, that she lived in Walsall and was 34, twice Ben's age. "Sometimes I drive when I can't sleep. You probably think it's a waste of petrol." He thought of her bare white thighs, but did not allow himself to look down. Ben said she shouldn't go too far from home, maybe drop him at the closest junction. But when they approached the first motorway exit, she showed no signs of stopping. 10 minutes later, Diane left the motorway for an unlit slip road. In the distance burned the lights of an all-night petrol station. "Leave me there if you want." On the forecourt, the car filled with yellow light. Ben could see the woman clearly now. Her hair was dark red, and there was a gap between her two front teeth. She unclipped her seatbelt, then pulled a pair of flip-flops from the door pocket. "I'd better fill up." Ben didn't know if she wanted him to go or was refueling to drive further. He got out and stood by the door. "I think I'll go into the shop. I'll leave my bag if that's all right." When she lifted her head, Ben glimpsed the outer rim of a birthmark on her neck that she had tried to cover with long hair. "Don't worry, I won't drive off." A motorcycle policeman in yellow and black stood like a wasp, stirring coffee in a paper cup. When his radio crackled, he switched it off. In the toilet, people had scribbled and scratched all over the wall. On his way out, Ben noticed a freezer with pictures of ice creams on the side. Diane was in the car with the engine running. Ben opened the door and handed her an ice rocket. "Get in. I can't drop you here." They bit their ice rockets without speaking. For early spring it was warm, and Diane had to open a window. "I'm such a loser," she said after telling Ben about her job in a chain restaurant. "But when I get home, I'm so tired cooking for other people. I just throw something in the microwave." She grew up in Northampton, but knew Devon as a child when her family had a caravan. She remembered the folding table, damp beds, a small television with its own aerial, birds calling from the trees at dawn. Running with her younger brother until suddenly afraid they had gone too far. Then later on, the thrill of being up late. A bench near the seafront, the weight of chips on her lap, evening unwrapped like a steaming prize. One day her father came home from work and said their caravan had been stolen from the storage lot. Thieves must have seen it from the dual carriageway, then gone back at night and forced the gates. Ben spent his holidays helping on farms, with evenings at the pub. Sometimes they all got drunk and tumbled onto Dartmoor. When Diane laughed, hair blew in her face. Ben watched her push it away. Then they saw a sign for Blackpool. "Let's go. But you're already so far from home. Come on, it'll be an adventure." They arrived before 2 in the morning. Many hotels were boarded up. Some buildings had lost their roofs, or been blinded by stones thrown from the street. Despite the decay, Diane said there was something about Blackpool that made her happy. "It was grand once," Ben told her, "during the war." "Then maybe it's the ghost of other people's happiness I'm feeling." Diane turned onto the seafront. When they saw the lights of an all-night fish and chip shop, Ben said they could get something to eat. The shop was bright and reeked of grease and vinegar. An old man in a white overcoat leaned against a fryer with crossed arms. After salting and peppering the battered fish and steaming chips, he held up a plastic bottle in the shape of a tomato. Ben shook his head. "Good man," the owner said. "A purist." Diane had parked near some beach steps. The smell filled the car quickly. They could see Blackpool Tower, and there were some lights, but the main attractions were closed down. Diane got out and stood barefoot on the pavement. The beach stones were hard to walk on. After choosing a place to sit, Diane said there was a blanket in the car, so Ben went back. Through the darkness, they could hear the sea. Diane took a corner of the blanket and covered her legs. There was only one fish fork in the bag of food, but when Ben handed it to Diane, she speared a chip and gave it back. "I admire you. Just going where you want." Ben broke open the steaming fish. "It was adventurous of you to pick me up. I could have been anyone."
"Probably not a good idea, right?"
"Except that it was me."
The white scallop pieces of cod came easily.
"Imagine all the places this fish went, all the things it saw before getting caught in the net."
The meal took a long time to finish because they found there was a lot to tell each other. He wondered if this was how relationships started. He had kissed several girls, and even an older woman who was drunk at the pub and said she was getting a divorce. But he had never spent all night talking. Ben wondered if he should kiss her now. He tried to imagine what his friends would say. How let down they would be that he had done nothing. But then Diane stood up and they ran down to the water, past shells and bushels of seaweed. They could not see much of the ocean, just a dark mass, with the occasional white dot moving along the horizon. When they were back on the blanket, Diane stared at him for a long time, and Ben thought something might happen. He pulled a bottle of cider from his jacket.
"This comes from an apple farm near me. It's not very sweet, but makes good cider.
I was saving it for a special occasion, but forgot an opener." Diane took it from him, then pried the cap off with her car key.
"My brother showed me that."
"Then let's toast him,"
Ben said as cider foamed out. Diane raised her arm. To my brother, Andrew. To Andy, wherever he may be tonight. Ben insisted Diane drink first. It was refreshing after the salty food. So, where is Andy? She passed the bottle back.
He died a week before his 17th birthday. One of the last things he told me was how upset he was about not getting his driving license, because there was a nurse he wanted to ask out.
When Diane smiled, Ben saw the gap between her teeth. That was Andy. Remember when I told you our caravan was stolen? Ben nodded. Well, it wasn't. My parents sold it to pay for special treatments. But they didn't work. Nothing worked in the end. Ben looked into the sky. Very dark over the sea where there was no street light. I still think about where he went. Where the dead go. Ben imagined what it was like after. He tried to picture Diane's face when she was told her brother was dead. Their caravan was long gone by then, full of other voices, other bare feet on the thin carpet. But in memory, it would always be theirs, and never change or grow old. When everything had been said, she lay down. Ben leaned back on his elbows, and their arms touched. He waited for Diane to move. He wondered if she knew they were touching. A few hours later, Ben opened his eyes and sat up quickly. A wet dog stood with a stick in its mouth, watching. Night had drained into the sea. When they got back to the car, it was almost six. The eastern sky was dazzling. They talked a little, but were mostly silent. Ben noticed she'd kept the fish fork. It was under the handbrake with some coins and the wrapper from an ice rocket. When they came upon a busy roundabout, Ben said it was probably the best place to get out. It was the morning of a different day. Diane pulled over and slipped some notes from her wallet. Take the train the rest of the way. Ben stared at the money in her hands. Please, take something for your journey ahead. When he closed the door, they stared at one another through the glass, but only her outline was visible. It was the first of many times he would remember her. She did not drive away until he reached the northerly end of the roundabout and put his thumb out.
Carl Prekop was reading The Hitchhiker by Simon Van Bui. The producer was Duncan Minchell.